I'm just a kid. I'm 85 years old. And I don't look it. I don't act it. I don't feel it. And if you tell me how I'm supposed to look and act and feel, I'll try. But otherwise, I'm going to be myself.
Amen.
So anyway, it's a joy for me to be here. And I praise the Lord for every one of you that are here. And I praise the Lord, and I'm humbled for the opportunity to be able to speak to you once again. Take your Bibles and stand, if you will, and turn to John chapter 5. Beginning at verse 25, down through verse 30. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight, this is a most serious hour. Thou dost know the depravity of the human heart here. Thou dost know the opposition of the evil one. And thou dost know the inability of the human vessel. And so, our God, we just pray, meet with us tonight. Oh, dear Lord, there's folks in this room that, as far as I know, don't know you. And oh, dear God, this may be the last service we'll ever have together. And I ask you again, please, please, Lord, do that work that has to be done in their hearts to bring them unto thyself. Oh, blessed Spirit of God, it's thy sphere of activity to draw sinners as well as convict them and then reveal Christ to them. Will you not do that work tonight to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Fasten our attention upon that which you have for us to learn. And then, Lord, again, send thy word forth in power and might as only thou art able. Oh, we beg you again, please, Lord, don't let these sinners die and go to hell. But cause them even now to listen like they've never listened before. But above everything else, we ask you, Lord Jesus, get glory to thyself in this endeavor. We pray and offer in thy blessed name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our subject tonight, the voice of God. John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. That's future. And now is. That's present. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Our lesson tonight will fall into two simple categories. First of all, the reality that God has a voice. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. The Lord God of heaven is a spirit. You've never seen him, I've never seen him, and I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ except by the eye of faith, and that's enough. He was revealed to my heart when he saved me. And I'll tell you right now, as I said before, I'll say again, he's closer to me than my own wife. And we've been living together for some 56 years. Now, people today, for some reason, don't believe that God has a voice. But he does. And I want you to notice, the reality that God has a voice is set forth for us in these activities. First of all, it's set forth in the creation of the world and mankind. Take your Bibles now and go back with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to notice very carefully what it says. In Genesis chapter 1, and we find the Word of God brings out in verse 3 these words. Listen to it and follow along in your Bible, if you will. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we find that God's voice is heard in Genesis 1, 3, 6, 9, 14, 20, 22, and 24. Now turn, if you will, to Psalm chapter 33, and look again in the book of the Psalms, chapter 33, and we find verses 6 through 9, you'll see again the reality that the Lord God of heaven has a voice. And I want you to notice carefully what he says in Psalm chapter 33, beginning at verse 6. But by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He laid up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. that all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now notice these words. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. There again, the reality that God has a voice. Not only is it set forth in creation, and I'll tell you right now, this little portion of Scripture throws into a cock's hat the idea that the Hubble telescope can reach out far enough in the future and tell us where the world came from. Beloved, the heavens are infinite because God is infinite. And always remember that very clearly. And another thing, when God created this universe, he did not create it for you and me. He made it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And I'm going to bring you something in a moment or two that's probably going to shock you. It did me because I'm the track of it, and I'm going to trace it down until I know a great deal more about it. Then I want you to take your Bibles again, and we find the voice of God is set forth in Psalm 139. And look again, if you will, Psalm 139 and verses 14 through 18. And again, we see the voice of God, the reality that God has a voice. Psalm 139. Listen to it, if you will, or follow along better in your Bibles, where we find in verses 14 through 18 these words. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Now what do you have here? Are you listening? That's conception. That's when the seed of the male was, the seed of the male united with the sperm, and that became the conception. And are you listening? God knew all about it. Now look again. We find very clearly, thine eyes did see my substance, being yet imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, whereas in continuance none were fashioned, and yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Now let's stop right here. What are you talking about? The Lord God of heaven has a voice, and we find very clearly, it's set forth in the creation of the world, it's set forth also in mankind. Now take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the first chapter of the book of Colossians. And I want to share something with you. It's got me going, and I'm going to go after it as much as I can until I get to the complete end of it. But I'm going to share something with you. And we find in Colossians chapter 1, we find these words. Look again, if you will. Beginning at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now look at these words. And he is before him, and by him all things consist. Since I came down here, I stopped at a friend of mine in Grayson, and he gave me this he picked it up on the internet, and are you listening now? There's a molecule in our system called lanolin. And that molecule is a protein molecule, and listen now, that molecule holds all our cells together. Now think of it. All our cells are held together by that molecule. If that thing begins to break down or something like that, you'll get muscular dystrophy and everything else. Now the amazing thing of it is that molecule, listen now, those molecules are in the form of a cross. Now think of it. Who holds us together? Nobody but God himself. And by this molecule we find, by him all things consist. And now that's all I know about it right now. When I get more information about it, I'll come back again and preach to you. But I want to share that with you. Who holds all things together? The Lord God of heaven. If you don't know him, let me say to you very kindly, you're running on borrowed time. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not ready to leave this earth. Now, why do I tell you this? Because God has a voice. Listen carefully, if you will. God's voice is not only set forth in the creation of the world and mankind, and we find he sustains us by this protein called lanolin, and then we find God's voice was heard at Mount Sinai. I don't think I need to go into that, but in Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 through 19, God's voice was heard in Mount Sinai. But now go back with me, if you will, and I want to tell you something. The modern day evangelism, sovereign grace and all, is wrong. You say, what in the world are you talking about? All right. Your modern day evangelism, we find, what do? They give an invitation and so on, and they try to drag people into a saving knowledge of Christ. It's an impossibility. And we find, now why do I tell you this? Because I want you to notice something, if you will. The voice of God has to be heard. Now, let's prove that. Go back with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. And we find in Genesis chapter 3, you have God's method of evangelism. Now, I want you to listen like you never listened before, because I'm going contrary to the vast majority of individuals today who are preaching and doing everything else. In Genesis chapter 3, and we find very clearly, beginning at verse 6, these words. Listen to it, if you will. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now hold your seat. Prior to their sin, Adam and Eve had no shame. They had a conscience, but that conscience was not in operation. And I'll tell you something else. Adam also had a free will. He could choose to sin, or he could choose not to sin. He chose to sin. And if you know anything about your Bible, you'll find out that the choice that Adam made was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam was a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. Eve is a picture of the church. And we find what happened. Adam deliberately became cursed of God for his wife. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately became cursed of God for his church. You still with me? I hope and pray you are. Now look again, if you will. I want you to notice. In verse 8, notice what it says. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now hold your seat. Here's God's method of reaching a sinner. What are you talking about, preacher? The individual has to hear the voice of God. And today, in our modern-day evangelism, we want decisions so quick and everything like that. As it were, we shake the tree and have nothing but green fruit.
Amen.
I don't know how you brethren are, but I'll tell you right now, I get so sick and tired for some of these long, drawn-out invitations, and they're trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until and unless an individual hears the voice of the Son of God, they are in a dead condition.
Amen.
And I'm going to keep that in mind. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Have you personally heard the voice of the Lord God of heaven speaking to your heart? If you haven't, my friend, you're still dead in your sin. And I don't care if you be a sinner in the gutter, or a man in the pulpit, or an individual in the pew. We find the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, I realize this is contrary to the average evangelism program today, but that's why I don't get too many invites to go. But I want to say right now, you can't change it. God set this. And we find when God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it's what we call the law of first occurrence. And when that happens in the Scripture, from then on, it follows the same category. The Tower of Babel resulted, I should say, that Babylon came from the Tower of Babel. Yes, Babylon came from the Tower of Babel. All right, what did they do? They tried to build a tower which would reach unto heaven because they were in disobedience to the Lord God of heaven. And we find God separated them by causing the languages to be changed. But I tell you right now, from then on, Babylon became an object of evil, and all through the Bible, until the end of the New Testament, we find Babylon is always against the things of God. Now listen, in God's evangelism, here you are. They have to hear the voice of the Son of God. Now let's go a little bit further. We find also God's voice. Not only we find God's voice was heard at Mount Sinai, God's voice was heard by Adam, but God's voice is also heard in redemption. Now take your Bibles again. Turn to John chapter 10, if you will, and look at me. The book of St. John, and we find in chapter 10, beginning at verse 14, down through verse 16, the Word of God says these things. Listen to it, if you will. John chapter 10, and we find beginning at verse 14. What a poor portion this is, and how true it is. Notice, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now look at this. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Now how? Here you are. I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Skip down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. And I give unto them, what? Eternal life. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you're saved here tonight, I'm going to tell you right now, there came a time in your life when you heard the voice of the Son of God. And if this is foreign to you, then you better throw aside that worn out profession and take your place as a sinner and sue for God to speak to your heart. Now I know this isn't popular preaching. But I can't make any difference. This is what God laid on my heart, and I'm going to give it to you regardless of the consequences. Now we find the reality that God has a voice is so. The voice of the Son of God has different aspects to it. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Number one, it's an awakening voice. People today don't know what it means to be awakened. And what is it? All right, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. All right, it's an awakening voice. Suddenly, mysteriously, positively, absolutely, and indelibly, the Spirit of God speaks to that sinner's heart. Hold your seat now, calls that sinner by name, and that sinner becomes an awakened individual. Now, they're not saved yet. They're awakened. And we find it's an awakening voice that they hear from the Lord God of heaven. Secondly, when they are awakened, it's a disturbing voice. Oh, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? I've said it before. I'll say it again. The average preacher, or I mean not preacher, but the average individual today will do everything they can to keep from getting converted. Man doesn't want to be saved. Man is at enmity against God. And if you're here without Jesus Christ tonight, you're not in the fold. And I'll tell you right now, down deep in your heart, there's an enmity against God, and my preaching may stir it up. I've had many an individual get so mad at me they could kill me. And I knew new preachers that are preaching the truth, you face the same thing. Why? Because the world never did, never has, and never will put its stamp of approval upon a work of God. And our Lord tells us that a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Keep that in mind. And don't be surprised when it comes. But in the voice of God, what do we have? It's an awakening voice, and then it's a disturbing voice. Now you say, what in the world are you talking about? Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 9. And I'll show you what kind of a disturbing voice it was. In Acts chapter 9, you all know the story. It's the story of Paul the Apostle, or who became the Apostle. And prior to being Apostle, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. And I'll tell you right now, he hated God. He didn't know it. You couldn't convince him that he was wrong. And on the road to Damascus, what was he doing? He was going there for the purpose of causing men and women and boys and girls who were believers. He was going to cause them to be put in jail. And many of them were being put to death. And he was saying amen to them. So in reality, the Apostle Paul was nothing but a religious murderer. Amen. And we have a lot of that today. Amen. Now, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, if God ever speaks to your heart, it's going to be an awakening voice, and I'll tell you something else. It's going to disturb you. Now, how do you know, preacher? Acts chapter 9, look at verse 3, if you will. Look at what it says. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now notice what happened. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, he didn't get saved on the Damascus Road. You let that soak in. He was awakened on the Damascus Road. You say, how do you know he didn't get saved? You skip down to verse 11 or 12, you'll find out in verse 11, the apostle, the Lord is speaking to Ananias, and he said, behold, he prayeth. And when Saul was awakened and disturbed, I'll tell you right now, he was in such a disturbance that he did not eat or sleep. He probably walked the floor 3 days and three nights, crying unto the Lord and finding out that all his religion was nothing but a bunch of farce. And God was dealing with him. Now listen carefully. The average religious sinner today has to unlearn before they can learn. You remember that. They have to unlearn before they can learn. And we find the Apostle Paul was in the same category. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And if you want to know how he felt when he was under conviction, read the third chapter of the book of Philippians and it'll tell you. Then we find the voice of God is not only an awakening voice, a disturbing voice, but then it's a condemning voice. Again, Acts chapter 9. I am in verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now what do you have here? It was not only an awakening voice, it was a disturbing voice, it was a condemning voice. Now hold your seat. Let me give you this truth. Before you come to experience the love of God, you're going to taste of the wrath of God.
Yeah.
Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? That's exactly right.
Amen.
God is a God of love, but grace reigns in righteousness. And before God saves that sinner and shows that sinner how much he loves him and everything else, he shows that sinner how rotten and despicable and hell-deserving he is. And I'll tell you right now, it disturbs the sinner to no end. You want a description of it? Let me give it to you. Turn to Psalm chapter 38 with me and see what it says. Here's the description of a sinner under conviction and how he feels. In Psalm chapter 38, the Word of God begins these words. Listen to it and follow along in your Bible if you will. Notice what it says. Psalm chapter 38. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Here you see an individual afraid of God because the judgment of God and the wrath of God is setting upon that individual, and that individual knows it. And I'll tell you right now, he's under a great disturbance. Now hold your seat. You been there? You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, my friend, put it right down. You haven't heard the voice of the Son of God. It's a disturbing voice. And we find very clearly, what are you talking about, preacher? We find it's a condemning voice. Look again, verse 38. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. That's a sinner under conviction. That's a sinner standing before God, disturbed, afraid, wondering what's going to happen to him. And I'll tell you right now, at that time, he doesn't know the love of God. He knows a little bit about the wrath of God. And he cries out against it because he sees himself as God sees him. He's made to look inside and see that his heart is nothing but a cesspool of sin, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, my friend today, people don't know what Holy Spirit conviction is, but this is what takes place. And God doesn't save a sinner without that individual hearing the voice of the Son of God. You know what I'm talking about? I pray you do. And last of all, I want you to notice something else. It's not only a condemning voice, but are you listening? It's a personal voice. Turn to Acts chapter 26, quickly. My time is gone, and I want to finish up so Brother Keats can go on with the great messages that he had. In Acts chapter 26, we find very clearly the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony. And I want you to notice what he said. In verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. See? He said amen to their death. All right, look again. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with the authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. Now look at this. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now what are you talking about? There's your personal voice. Now you say, what are you talking about? If God gives you his call tonight and he causes you to hear his voice, you won't know if anybody else hears it or not. It's not going to come out of the wall. It's an inward voice down in the deepest recesses of your soul, and you are going to know, and know that you know it, that God is speaking to you personally. And not only that, he's going to call you, it's going to be so personal, it's like he's calling you by name. Now, preacher, how do you know? I've been there. I know what it is. On the week that I got converted, being a Baptist preacher, I walked up and down in my backyard, and I was crying unto the Lord, and I said, Lord, what's going to happen to me? Because all I could see was hell in front of me and God's wrath upon me. And I didn't know much. I didn't know anything about the love of God then. But he led me to go inside and sit in a chair. And I began, and as I sat in that chair, I was so filthy and so hell-deserving and so rotten, I actually asked the Lord, have mercy on me and send me to hell. But he didn't do it. After I cried that way, I said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And are you listening? That voice of condemnation be turned into a voice of reconciliation and love. I have never gotten over it. And you haven't either, if it's ever happened to you. You say, what are you talking about? It's not only a personal voice, a condemning voice. It's a personal voice. And then we find very clearly, it is a saving voice. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the hour is coming and now is. I like that. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. If you're here without Christ tonight, the hour is right now for you. Are you dead? Is God speaking to you? Is he opening your heart and you've been made to realize that God's talking to you? Then you're hearing the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear, hallelujah, they shall live. Now let me close. No voice, no redemption. I don't care how many times you walk the aisle, how many times you lead a person so supposedly into Christ. And before I got saved, I was known in that town as the biggest soul winner that ever hit that town. I went to school in Chicago, and I'll tell you right now, I was driven. I wouldn't go to bed until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I first of all had to lead somebody on Skid Row to Christ. And the thing of it was, they said they were saved, they prayed after me and everything like that. The next day, I'd go back and see them just as they were again the day before. You know why? No voice. No repentance. No salvation. And I want to say to you very kindly, in closing tonight, oh my friend, I hope you've heard the voice of the Son of God. And if you haven't, I hope and pray that you will. Because are you listening? God's voice is heard in redemption. Go back to Genesis 3. There is God's method of salvation. He doesn't have a dozen different methods of salvation. He has one. The individual is going to hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. All right, let's go on. Every saved person has heard the voice of the Son of God. Now hold your seat one more time. Every individual one day will hear the voice of the Son of God. go back to our text again, John chapter 5, if you will, and look at what it says. We find in John chapter 5 and verse 26 or 27 these words. Listen to it, if you will. The hour is coming, and when all that are in the voice shall, when the hour is coming, when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now hold your seat one more time. At the great white throne judgment, every individual who's never been converted is going to stand there. They're going to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus say very clearly to them, "Depart from me, ye wicked, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And we find their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, they'll be judged according to their works. And then what will happen is this. The angels will come along and hurl them into the lake of fire. What an awesome day that's going to be. But are you listening? I'm not going to stand in that group. Neither are you if you've heard the voice of the Son of God. Have you heard his voice? Oh, I pray that you have. Now, I've preached to you a little bit tonight, and I'll tell you right now. When you're a believer, not only have you heard God's voice, but you continue to hear it. And then your desire is this, because what happens? The voice of the Lord God of heaven, as we brought out here last night, the voice of the Lord God of heaven becomes a beloved voice to you. Huh? Now I'm going to leave this with you. Are you more in love with the Lord Jesus today than you were a year ago? Or are you about the same? You think of it. Are you more in love with him today than you were a year ago? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And I've been serving him for over 50 years, and I'll tell you right now, I'm only beginning to scratch the surface of his, what it means for him to love me like he does. You'll never fully understand, but all the greatest thing that can happen to you is not only to get saved, but it's to walk and talk with the voice of your beloved, because Jesus Christ becomes your beloved. And you love to serve him. And when you do, the Holy Spirit of God will do what? Do what the work, whatever work has to be done, as it will be described for us in the next few moments. God help us tonight. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go home. Face yourself in the mirror. Ask yourself this question. Call yourself by name. Have you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? If your heart doesn't say amen, then there's something wrong. Because God doesn't leave you without assurance. When he saves us, and we find they that hear the voice of the Son of God are what? They live. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What a gracious God we have, Brother Pastor.